Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Weakness suppresses my will. Cowardice from a coward man. Anger and shame from the life you used to live. Cheat, steal, try to reach this selfish axe. Lies and dreams and prone to manipulation. I'm not weak anymore. Venom from your snake-like tongue won't burn my skin anymore. This act of self-importance, try to sold you out. Cheat, steal, try to reach this selfish axe. Lies and dreams and prone to manipulation. I'm not weak anymore. The life you lead is so great, but the victims decide to break. Feeling the will of your friends and family, suit your own sea needs. Disgusting, awful scum of a man, haven't you ruined and known? The putrid play has a final end, and a price that you have to pay. Cheat, steal, try to raise a selfish axe. Lies and dreams and prone to manipulation. I'm not weak anymore. Cheat, steal, try to raise a selfish axe. Lies and dreams and prone to manipulation. I'm not weak anymore. This power comes to me and consumes my soul. Your influence dies as you try to fail. To use everyone as a personal blow. Does it ever fucking end? Sociopathic behavior, weak and sick, all die on our friends. It's no use, give up and go. Stays the charade and we'll end it. It's your wish on resent and mercy. Curse by your unrest. I was most friendly. I had toxic years. It's your resent and mercy. Curse by your unrest. I was most friendly. I was once weak will, easy to control. Now I am reformed, stronger than before.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 165 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Out of Hand with Weak Willed from their debut LP coming out May 7th. It's called Exility. And these guys are a great combination of death metal, thrash metal, hardcore. You just heard it there. You know what I'm talking about. Look for that record. It's going to be, I believe it's going to be self-released, but hopefully they get some eyes on them. This one came across my email by proxy from the band. So they're out there pushing. And I appreciate that. So I wanted to give them some credit and a play here to start off this episode, because this episode also includes another band with a great combination of those sounds. This time around, we're talking to Knox Colby from Enforce. He does the vocals for that band. And they just put out an incredible record called Killgrid on Century Media. And that's a big deal. So we're going to talk about how big of a deal that is, and you're going to listen to it and love it. So let's do a little more thrash with New Jersey's best thrash band. This is Hot Zone with the Getting It Out Podcast intro, and you're going to love it.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitches? It's the illustrious Hot Zone, back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out Podcast? I said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. I said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it! Make family and a friend, make friends and an enemy. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out! Alright, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, J Money, and LFTW forever!
Okay, hello, how you doing? It's spring now, did you know that? March 20th, I believe, was the official first day of spring. It might have been the 21st, but I think it was the 20th. So that's your little bit of information. We can now celebrate getting past winter, although it has definitely snowed plenty of times in April, so I usually don't count that bitch of a season gone until about halfway through April, but we'll see. I'm enjoying it for right now. I went out today and ran 5 miles. I couldn't tell you the last time I ran 5 miles. I don't think I've ran 5 miles straight for like 2 years. I don't know why that is. I usually have some sort of excuse, but I think the most I ran at one time all of last year was 4. So I got a couple 4-milers in this year already and 1 5. So I always say I'm going to try and do a half marathon by the end of the year, but that is very unlikely. And the farthest I think I've ever got was 11 miles, which that's a lot. It's hard to run. Running sucks and it's hard. And I don't know how people do marathons, even half marathons. I've never done that. I don't know how they do full marathons. I don't know how they do ultra marathons. I don't know how they do Ironmans. Although, I think in Ironmans, you swim like a mile, and that sounds super easy, like crazy easy. And I guarantee it's not. Like tile work. I assume tile is hard because everybody sucks at it. But swimming a mile must be as hard as doing tile, right? I don't know. Somebody's got to correct me on that. But nobody's going to be able to because I'm gonna shut down every bit of information I get about that. Here's a little information on swimming a mile. I'm gonna be like, listen, man, that's just something I said that I already forgot about. So don't talk to me about it anymore. All right, that's like 90% of the things I say. These opinions I have, they're not real. I mean, they're real. I mean it, but I don't think about it again. It's just something I say. And then I move on, and then I say another thing, and I'm like, and someone's like, you shouldn't have said that one thing. And I'm like, hey man, I don't even know what you're talking about. And that's genuine. I forget a lot of stuff, always have. You know what I'm never going to forget though? I'm never going to forget what just happened. My wife and I were putting together our brand new desks. And this is a lot of pieces, all right? We're talking butcher block tops, 2 6-foot pieces. It's not a small thing. We're talking 4 different drawer units. Got everything together, all assembled, all set up on the desk. I was like, okay, I got to work on this podcast. It's due out tomorrow. I sit down and grab a beer, sit down beside the computer, open the beer, and it soaks the whole fucking thing. You know when you take your hose and you put it on that soak setting where it soaks whatever. It doesn't necessarily spray, but it kind of glugs out. Well, it did that all over my laptop, my personal laptop that I use for the podcast, the one that I'm using right now. This is less than an hour ago. It covers this thing. I'm sure there's some long-term damage in here happening. But I'm trying to get this done before it all soaks in. But yeah, it was awful. And then while I was cleaning up, I was thinking, I know what the problem is. I got one of these Golden Road Brewing Wolf Pup Session IPAs. I bought these before. All right, they're 15 packs. They sell them at the Sheets down the road. They're, you know, for $20, 15 beers, decent deal for an okay beer, right? And this is the same thing that happened last time. The same thing that happened last time I bought this beer. Every single one of them exploded. I don't know what it is. I don't know who to blame for this. I'm going to forget about it again, probably buy it again a year from now, and it's going to be explosions all over the place. I'm going to be like, how could this happen? Why didn't anybody warn me? But here I am again now. I opened the second one. That one also exploded all over the place, but I was prepared for it. I stood at the sink, and you just watch at least a quarter of the beer pour down the sink and over your hand, and it's ridiculous. It's messy, and you got to wipe everything down. It's totally not worth it. I definitely won't do it again until I forget, and then I will do it again because, you know, that's my thing. Okay. Anyway, you don't need to know all that, but you do now. As I had mentioned in the intro, this episode features an interview with Knox, the vocalist from Enforce, who just put out Killgrid on Century Media, and it's a killer record. How about that? Didn't see that coming, did you? I tried to interview somebody from Enforce several times over at least the last year, and we were finally able to work it out. It took several tries, but we finally did it, and I'm thankful for Knox for being accommodating to getting this done. So here, let's play a song from that record. Let's play the one they just put out a single for. This one's called UXO. I believe there's a video for it. Check it out here, and then listen to my conversation with Knox. Hello, Knox.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. Finally, I'm really glad we can finally do this.
Yeah, I don't know if you know exactly how long This has been, I've been attempting this, but it's been
roughly a while.
I'm going to say it's been since At the Walls came out.
Really? No, I did not know that.
I got you. Well, regardless, I'm glad this finally worked out. Like I said,
absolutely.
Like I told you before, or you might be aware, I tried calling Will a couple weeks ago, didn't get anything. You tried getting a hold of me, didn't get anything, blah, 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 back and forth. But all right, we did.
It's been a busy time, but I'm glad we can finally sit down and have a chat.
Yeah, me too. Did you get a full work day in already?
Yeah. Today was fucking nasty, so I just kind of busted ass. And I had a phone call at 3, so I was like really rushing to get home. I got home right at the nick of time.
If you don't mind talking about what do you do for work?
I've been doing property management and like maintenance technician, plumbing, electrical, carpentry, HVAC since 2013.
Ah, shit. So you're basically like a, and I mean this in a good way, like a handyman.
A handyman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just an all-arounder, yeah.
That's very good.
I don't know a lot, but I know a little about a lot.
What do they say?
Kind of well-rounded. Jack of all trades.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. We did so many renovations at my house in since June that we basically had our own handyman the entire time, and he just finished.
Nice.
I'm talking like the entire house. It's been crazy, but yeah.
Dude, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare. Like my mom's house was being renovated. She wanted me to do it, and I was like, no. Like, I'm not doing tile. I'm not, reworking copper pipes in the basement, but if your dishwasher breaks, I can fix it. I'm not doing all the crazy shit.
Dude, it's funny that you mentioned tile because we've had, I think,
brutal,
let's see, we did a tile shower, tile bathroom floor, another tile bathroom floor, and a tile backsplash, and they all suck dick. They're all terrible. Four different people did them, four different companies. Terrible. We're having the last one, the backsplash. We're having somebody come back out to rip it all out and do it again.
It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. I took a crack at it once just to replace 3-4 tiles, and I was like, never again. I don't know how you're supposed to do this. Like, it seems easy on paper, but it just doesn't work out. It just doesn't work out the way you want it to.
Yeah. It's funny.
So, I'm done with this.
I keep saying the people that are good at tile, I don't know where they are, but they earn their money because, that's a...
For sure.
That's a trade.
Yeah, that's a trade. Holy hell.
All right, but...
And even with, electricity and stuff, I'm like, I just think I'm going to get shocked all the time. I've been shocked enough, so I'm just like, this next one might be it. I don't even want to touch it at this point.
I just installed, an overhead light in our new washroom /... laundry room, and that's the first first time I ever got in there and did that, and it was really, really, really simple. So I feel kind of stupid that I didn't before, but I am very glad that I didn't shock myself. That was a big achievement.
That's a big day ruiner. especially throwing a ladder, not fun.
No, didn't happen, so I don't got to worry about it. But anyway, work, and you've obviously been doing a lot of interviews like you and I have talked about before, and that's because guys just dropped, you're in this band Enforced, and you just dropped this fucking awesome record called Killgrid on Century Media Records, and it sounds like things are, there's a lot happening for a band who can't do much with the current climate. You're doing quite a bit.
It got stronger reviews than I assumed or anticipated. I assumed if you look at the walls, you're gonna like Killgrid. You're gonna like Killgrid a whole lot more.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I don't know, especially with signing with Century, I was just kind of apprehensive of how's the overall, worldwide metal community gonna see this or whatever. I don't know. And throughout, January and February and stuff, it's just this is one of the most highly anticipated albums. I'm like, really? says who? Who is that coming from? It's so strange. And then it finally dropped on Friday, And it's just like, oh, wow, like, people really like it. So I'm, you know, super appreciative and humble. Like, that's really cool to see this horde of people just being like, this is fucking legendary.
Yeah,
it's a really cool feeling.
it must be, and it's really awesome, and I can mirror back with things that I've heard the same stuff about. Just last Friday, I put out, like, a Friday morning Instagram thing, like, what's the best release coming this week? And almost every answer included Enforced Killgrid. And one of my good friends who, you know, messaged me about it was like, I haven't heard it yet, but I know it's going to be the best release that came out this week. And I was like, Well, I've heard it quite a bit, and it is fucking great, and you're probably right that it is, but it's the confidence that people had for you guys coming into this was pretty cool.
And that's so strange and really cool, coming from, you know, just our only other output is an LP of old stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how much hype could there possibly be for a band that honestly hasn't put anything out, you know, like, new for a long time? It's like, and like, I guess a quote unquote smaller band at that. So it's just like, I don't know what to expect. Like, if it does well, that's great. But if it doesn't, that's more to be expected than,
right,
you know, rabid fury of, like, metal fans clawing at the places to get it. Like, we sold out really quick.
That's awesome. That's
fucking cool.
Well,
we had to buy more. The record store had to buy more. They sold out in like 3 hours. We sold out in about 6. So
how's that?
Friday was a whirlwind.
How's that work now with record plants being the way they are? If you sold out now, are you guys like out of records for months and months now?
No. Century, basically all the colors, all the colored vinyl is limited to 200 per color. So if there's still some, you know, floating around, I doubt it. But those are all limited. And then the black vinyl, just your basic record black vinyl, is, I think there's maybe 1,000. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
Yeah.
But even like Amazon sold out. So like we had to get more from the record label. And so did the record store that we're working with, Vinyl Conflict. They had to get more too, because they sold out instantly.
That's great.
I think between both of us, we got like 400, we had to get 400 more records. And once we finally get those back in stock, I know Vinyl Conflict already has theirs, so they're probably screaming through those. We haven't gotten ours yet, but we're going to tear through those as well, because that's the only place, at least in the U.S., that you can get them with, like, decent shipping.
Right. Well, Vinyl Conflict, that's a Richmond-based store too, right?
Yeah.
Which I wanted to talk to you about because, I mean, Richmond has a pretty well-documented and well-respected metal and hardcore scene. How did you find yourself first involved in all of it?
Well, I mean, I've been going to hardcore shows since I was like 13. So it's just kind of like, I've been a part of it longer than I haven't at this point.
Yeah.
But I lived in Chesapeake when I first started going to shows. So the Virginia Beach hardcore scene was the only place I could go because I was too young. You know, and even then I have to like beg my parents to drop me off at shows and stuff, and they were not down because it's just Virginia Beach at the time was just like excessively
nasty.
Violent.
Yeah,
nasty, real nasty. So I was just like, please let me go see Bloody Sunday, and they're like, no, you're going to die. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. And then I'll have like a near-death experience. And I'm just like, they might be right, but I love this, so I'm going to keep coming back. And then, but like, Richmond had always had the bigger scene.
Yeah.
And as I was getting older and, you know, starting, you know, hardcore bands and just bands in general, I was like, kind of, I want to play Richmond because that's the big scene. That's the big Virginia scene. I want to play there. Did once. That was pretty cool. And then I was just kind of sold on it. And it's not uncommon for people, at least in Virginia, to, once they, you know, graduate high school and who are fans of, like, you know, hardcore punk or metal, to move to Richmond just because of the scene, just because the shows you get, it's so immersed in the, like, culture of the city. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to avoid. But if you're a fan of it, it's like a kid in a candy shop. Like, it's just stellar. So the minute I graduated, I was like, I'm moving to Richmond. I'm going to college. Yeah, yeah. It's for my, you know, future. But in the back of my mind, I was just like, I just want to go see all the shows. I just want to walk to all the shows. I don't want to have to drive. And that just kind of started a love relationship, I guess.
That's funny, and I have a lot of parallels there with myself in Baltimore, and that's basically why I moved to Baltimore from where I was at in Pennsylvania.
Where were you at?
I was in York, Pennsylvania, which is only like 45 minutes north of Baltimore. It's where I grew up, but eventually, just, you know, Baltimore was the local big city to go to shows at, you know, because 45 minutes wasn't nothing. But eventually, yeah, I just moved there for the same type of reasons. And
when was that?
That, I think I moved there in 2009.
Okay.
And then I've been out of there for a couple of years.
That's the height of Trapped Under Ice and
probably when they're just taken off.
Yeah, because when did Secrets of the World come out? Like 2008, 2009?
Right around there. Yeah.
Yeah, and has Stout always been around?
They've been around. They've been around since forever. Like 93 or 94. I could be wrong. Maybe it's like 96.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's always been there. We played Baltimore a few times. I've loved every second of it. I was born at Johns Hopkins. So.
Oh yeah, which one?
It's the location that's like downtown.
So the main one. Yeah, I had head trauma at that one. I was in there for a brain bleed, but my daughter was born at the other one, Bayview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have something in common.
Yeah, like, yeah.
head trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I got knocked out in an alley in Fells Point, and my whole face got slashed open, and I hit the ground.
God,
and
damn,
my
dude.
Brain was bleeding, so I had to go to the hospital a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was having the trauma of, like, I was still attached to my mother, and it was, like, kicking and screaming and just very...
That sounds way worse.
Super traumatic, but I survived. So.
Good, I'm glad.
Congrats to you as well. Yeah, you survived.
Barely. I'm a little different now, but I made it. So when did Enforced actually start up? Because I started hearing you guys... I don't know when I started hearing you guys exactly, but I know... You really when at the Walls was starting to come out, when War was promoting it, that's when obviously you popped on my radar, and I think a lot of people's radar. And then when that record dropped, it was like, oh shit, I see why. I think you guys did some dates with Integrity or something that you know got my attention, and then I've been into it since.
Were you at the Sidebar show?
No, I wasn't.
Ah, bud, you missed out. That was a great one.
I'm sure it was. I've been out of Baltimore for too long, though.
Okay. Oh, so you're not there now?
No. I moved back to Pennsylvania a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. I'm totally confused. I'm trying to figure out where you're at without prodding. No. Okay. Cool. We started in everyone wants to say 2016, but I don't think anyone would acknowledge that in the band. It was definitely 2017 because they wrote the demo but had no vocals in December of 2016. And our original drummer and I worked at a grocery store together. And he was like, hey, like, I'm trying to start this new band and we don't have a vocalist. And you've been in a bunch of bands and stuff. Like, I think you could probably kill this. So he sent me the tracks, and I like scribbled, like bashed out some lyrics real quick. Recorded it like a week later in like two or three takes, and that was that. And that was in 2017 in January. And then like we immediately put it on cassette as fast as possible. So I would really consider 2017 January of being like the birth of it, because it wasn't done yet, you know?
Yeah.
And then we've just been, you know, kind of pushing and working as hard as we always have ever since. And we've had, you know, two lineup changes. We have a newer drummer, Alex, and a newer bassist, Ethan, who have the time and the capacity to like do all the crazy wild shit that we want to try and do. So,
well,
shout out to Connor and Isaac for sticking in as long as they could, but it got like with all the touring and stuff that we were doing in 2018, 2019, it became such a strain for everybody. So it's just kind of, we just had to get new people.
Well, does it feel like the whole thing has moved fast? It's because this last year has been so weird, but it feels like Out the Walls just came out. I know that was 2019.
I'm glad you know, because I couldn't remember. Oh, I thought I could have sworn it was 2018, but it just isn't.
Well, then you do that, and then your sophomore record is all the way. You know, it's like you jumped straight up to the top, and you're on Century Media already. And
I know it's like that weird meme of like a kid like skipping all the steps to get to the top, and I was just like, and that's how it feels sometimes. It's very weird. It's like, dude. 4 months ago, no one could care less. Just some, you know, middle of the road, like hardcore thrash band.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you know, it just exists. And then all of a sudden you're in the major leagues. It's like, how the hell did that happen?
Well, was that?
And then all with all the interviews and promotion and everything, you're just like, holy shit, this is wild.
Yeah, you sound busy. Especially with this stuff, but was,
oh boy, yeah.
Was that was the relationship with Century Media enhanced at all by Will playing in Red Death as well? Because I know they had a record out.
Yeah, I think that was the initial start, because Red Death got signed, and then some Bandcamp article that was like top nine, weird number.
Yeah.
Top nine, like crossover bands to look out for. And Red Death was on there, and we were on there too. So the head of AR at Century Media, he read that, and he was like, he checked us out, and he was like, holy shit, like, this is sick. And he looked at, you know, we're touring all the time and we're working all the time and we're constantly releasing stuff, and he was just like, yeah, that's the band I want to work with. So he hit us up too, and we didn't believe it at first,
right?
Because we were just like, no way. So we just ignored it, and he just kept harping on us, and we're just like, this might be legit. So we started talking, and we're just like, holy shit, this is legit. Like, this is actually happening. Like, this is fucking crazy, dude.
That's one of the Century Media, and we're really spending a lot of time on. I don't mind, because they really are such a big name in heavy metal, and for as long as I can remember. I mean, as long as I've been involved, I used to get the catalogs and flip through their catalogs, and I'd circle like a million things that I want and never buy anything because I didn't know how to buy things. It was pre-internet, you know. But I would get I would get like their comps, totally. the identity comps, and they would have like. It's like all sorts of different bands on it. You know, it'd go from it'd be like Marauder and Turmoil and Opeth and Iced Earth and like some weird variety, Jag Panzer, all over the place. And I always thought it was a cool way that they operated, and they're still doing that today.
When we when we signed with them, they sent us one of those sampler LPs.
Yeah.
Like a picture disc. But instead of it just being like the regular picture disc, it was like this whole like congratulations to Enforce for signing with like the Century Media family and all this stuff like printed on it.
Oh, that's very cool.
Super fucking cool. Oh, we're framing that shit. That's fucking cool.
Are you guys going to argue over who gets to keep it, though, right?
No, we can. I mean, someone else can take it. It's fine. I'm the keeper. I'm the archivist of the group. So I have a plethora of memorabilia. So I'm good. Someone else can have that. I'm losing space.
Yeah. Well, it seems like are you basically the guy who does this type of stuff for Enforced?
No, I mean, well, in terms of interviews and stuff like that, like, yes, but it used to be Will and I, but Will just moved. He's having some like medical issues. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And, so just to make his life easier, I kind of took over the whole roles of like doing all the interviews and stuff like that just to make his life easier.
Yeah.
So he can just relax and recoup and whatnot. So, in terms of, I hate to say it, but in terms of the faith of the group, yeah, but I'm also the front man. So it's kind of like something I should have expected.
Well, kind of payoff for never having to do any load in, right?
I help everybody.
Ah, come on. That's
a collective thing.
It's your right to not do anything.
I've hauled that 7,000-pound base cab up a narrow, long staircase.
Don't do that for them. Dude, come on. I was in a band once, too, and I was a singer, and I didn't help them once, and that's something I'm very proud of.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Shame. Shame on you. Everyone was resentful.
I might have helped the drummer once or twice, but that's because he had so much stuff.
Oh, no. I'm kind of a bigger guy, so when it comes to all of, like, the breakables and all the cymbals and stuff for the drums, I just get in a position.
Like a musk ox,
at the back of the van.
Right?
I literally just get in a position and I just tell someone, it's like, load me up with all the drum stuff. So put everything on my back, fill up my arms, and I just like trudge and just get it all done in one go.
Well, good for you.
Because I hate doing this multiple times. The less trips, the better.
It's like bringing in the groceries, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I've gotten really good at it. Or like taking out the recycling or bringing in groceries.
It's just like,
I don't want to do this 6 times. I'm going to try and do it once. Just these tent makes you smarter.
That's true. Well, good for you. I'm sure your band appreciates you handling all this.
When it comes to like the email interviews and stuff, though, I'm like, I'm on the phone all night. Can y'all please just someone answer the email? Like, it can't be that hard. If you really need my help, just text me.
Well, there had to be a gigantic, and I'm sure we've already touched on it, there had to be a gigantic jump in that type of shit from At the Walls to Killgrid.
Like, oh, dude, with At the Walls, I think I only did like 6.
Yeah.
And I think most of them were emails.
Were you expecting this at all?
No, but at the same time, that just shows how stupid I am and how ignorant I am on the subject of just like, I get this, you know, like a PR schedule, and I'm just like, there's a dude in Paraguay that wants to talk to me. I wonder why.
Right.
Like, huh? And then I have to like snap out of it. It's like, it's because you're in a band, you signed to Century Media, you have an album coming out. It's bigger of a deal than you're understanding. I'm like, oh, right. But it never ceases to amaze me how stupid I am. So it's nice. It's nice to like kind of reset and be like, oh, someone wants to talk to me? What about? And it's like, the album, you idiot. And he's like, oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Like, I'm just blown away about the amount of people that want to talk specifically to me about, you know, anything. So right. That's awesome. And especially after, you know, last year, it's just nice to chit chat with strangers. It's totally sick. Like this is happening. Like I'm talking to you. This is cool. This is really cool.
Well, I agree. Thank you. But that's gotta be, this is like the only thing you can do, right? Though, like was there any apprehension about releasing a record like this? I mean, it seems like we're kind of at the tail end of the nonsense, but who knows how long the tail is.
The light's at the end of the tunnel, I think.
Yeah, but so was there any thoughts of holding off and trying to wait till it was all over, or is this? Because I could also see this being totally beneficial. By the time we're able to get out there and go to shows again, everybody's going to be completely familiar with the record. You won't have those awkward, here's a new song, everybody stands still.
Right.
You know, maybe you can skip that step too. You guys are just going to skip levels all over the place.
Yeah, it doesn't, it wasn't on purpose. It was originally supposed to come out last summer. Because everyone was like, okay, well, shut down, lock down 2 weeks, no problem. Like, we'll all get over it and we'll all move on. And then it just dragged and dragged and dragged and dragged on, and it got worse and way worse. And all the tours we were supposed to do in the summer and the fall, they were getting canceled or postponed indefinitely, which is just a nice way of saying canceled. And you're just like, okay, well, why would I put it out? Like at the bleakest point where like, no one would even, I don't think anyone would even be paying attention to it because they'd be so, you know, wrapped up in the pandemic and everything and trying to like actually survive to an extent. So I was just like, this century was just like, this is not August or September or whatever was like, that's not a good time to do it. Let's just postpone it. We should just postpone it until March. And we're like, okay, but in terms of beneficial, yeah, it was beneficial because we kind of were like flying by the seat of our pants trying to rush to meet that late summer deadline. But then it gave us, you know, an extra 6 or 7 months or whatever to really hone it in on how we're going to release singles, which singles, are we going to do music videos? Are we going to do like, how is this going to roll out? Cause at first it was just like, well, you know, let Century take the wheel. Like they know better than us.
Yeah.
And then it, once it got postponed, it's like, okay, well now we have a lot more breathing room to really do this the right way and to collaborate with Century on how to do it or like what we should do and what we want to do. And they were super supportive with throughout the entire process and super critical at times and very knowledgeable about the whole process. Cause I mean, that's such a, it's such a big jump that of course I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So, so it's nice to have, you know, a camp that does know how it works and does know how to roll things out because this isn't their first rodeo because it's definitely mine. So yeah, it just bought us more time to make Killgrid as accessible and excite people as best as possible. Without giving too much away, you know?
Well, like we talked about, it seemed to work and to credit what you're saying there. I mean, obviously Century Media knows what they're doing. Like, right. Like even if like you want to question,
they wouldn't be where they're at. If they didn't.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been looking at their catalogs or their comps back in, you know, 20, 30 years ago or whatever, 20 years ago. If they got it wrong. So that's an interesting thing to consider is I don't know, the it's I guess it'd be maybe easier to put your ego aside and think you know what's best when you're staring in the face of a label that's done what they've done. But
right, that was the initial thing. I was just like, well, they, like, you know, Papa knows best.
Yeah.
So just let them do what they do. But then when we had more time, it's like, well, maybe that gives us the breadth to work together instead of just giving them the album and then sitting back in the chairs.
Yeah,
we have a really strong work ethic as a band and as people. So it's just like, I don't think we could have operated, honestly. We're just like, yeah, y'all handle it and just watch them do things that we necessarily, not saying that that ever happened, because it didn't, because it couldn't, because we were a part of the entire process.
Right.
But like, there's definitely an alternate reality out there where they did all of it and we were just lazy and angry.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have any say, but we were just too lazy to say anything about it. But I'm glad that reality doesn't exist in mine, because we have worked every step of the way together, which is really cool.
That
especially
is really
for
cool.
Such a huge label. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like you're the only band on that label. You know, they've got a lot of irons in the fire,
yeah,
and it's
like,
constantly churning stuff out.
I don't know how it works. I really like, how do you do it? My God, especially with like our A&R people and like PR. It's just like, I know I'm not the only person talking to you right now. Like,
sure,
how much shit do you must have on your plate is ridiculous. And so I'm trying to make this as easy as possible for both of us. And they really do appreciate it. They're like, well, I'm glad that we're working together. And I'm glad that you're not trying to, you know, start fights and cause fires and stuff like that. You just want to get it done, too. Like, it's just a job, I guess, the best way to put it. But, like,
yeah,
the best job in the world.
Well, I can say, like, even going back to, it was a couple of weeks ago now, actually, when you called me, and I didn't know you were going to be calling
me. Oh, yeah.
and like, I'm not going to go back to your PR person and be like, hey, we never confirmed this, you know, like, because whatever.
Yeah,
I know that
I was in the zone.
I know they were, but you know, like, I know that person is dealing with a lot of people all the time and a lot of things. You know,
I don't
so
understand how they sleep at night. How do you have the time to sleep?
Yeah.
Good God. Ooh.
Yeah. No. Well, hey, let's go on to some Killgrid behind the scenes stuff here.
Yeah, buddy. Let's go for it.
You were Arthur. How do I say his last name correctly? Rizik. Rizik. All right. Well, why is there no second I? Anyway. He mixed the album.
I've always been told.
That's
people say risk, or people say rice. Like, I mean, like, not to toot my own horn, but like, I've talked to people all over the world. No one says it the same way twice.
Of course not. No. Yeah. That's why I waded into that, you know, and asked rather mm-hmm. than attempted. But so he mixed the album, and his name is everywhere lately, right? He's on every record, and for good reason.
He should have won producer of the year at the Grammys.
Yeah.
It's like, good God. The amount of pies he has his fingers in is just ridiculous, dude.
Well, and because of that, I don't want to ask you about him, because we've heard a lot
no,
about
go
him.
For it. No,
I don't. I want to ask you who Bob Quirk is, who produced the album. I'm less familiar with that guy. Who is he?
He is a god. He is a grumpy god. We have always, just as like individual musicians with our own individual bands, have always been recording with Bob forever, because he has always been super fair in pricing, super accommodating in terms of time, and the best way to put it, he wants you to achieve the best you can do. like, and he'll know when what you're trying, just instinctively know what you want to do. And if you don't meet his expectations or your own expectations, he's going to tell you that you fucking suck to your face. So it's just like, yeah, that wasn't strong. Or just, you're almost there, but that sounded like shit. Just over and over and over again. And just having that relationship and friendship for, like, I think the first time I recorded with Bob was like 2010. So where are we at, like 10, 11 years?
Yeah.
Like, especially with like a big release like this, it's like, who else am I gonna go to? Like, I'm gonna go with a guy that I know and trust and who understands, like, the perceived weight of all of this as well. So especially in my experience, like, recording vocals for Killgrid, he was brutally honest, almost like masochistic. It was pretty sick. In retrospect, it was sick. You're just like, bad, 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 bad. Like, keep trying. You haven't even warmed up yet. Like, we're just going to have to do this like at least 16 times until you like get in the zone. So just keep yelling until you sound good, you know, kind of thing. And yeah, he's just like, he's part of the like Enforce family. He's just part of the tribe. So it would have seemed fruitless and stupid to not include him on our first, you know, really big, you know, break. And adding Bob to it, that's kind of one of the goals of the band, was just like, we need to put Bob's name out there because he is a great engineer. And he's been in plenty of bands too. You know, so he knows the deal. He knows the score. But yeah, he's a part of the tribe. Like, we couldn't have done this without him, period.
That's awesome. And the loyalty is very cool. And that's, like I said, I don't know his name. So I know Arthur's name. Everybody knows Arthur's name at this point, but it looks like Bob needs to get some credit too, because the record does sound, it sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds as big as it's supposed to, and I don't.
Yeah, mean... and Bob and Arthur worked together, for a little bit, and I also don't want to not include Ricky Olson, who recorded. We recorded the drums at a completely different studio, in Richmond, called the Ward. Oh my God! Can you please? I don't know if you can hear that car or not.
I can hear it. Yeah.
Obnoxious. Oh my God, dude. Anyway, it's like they don't know I'm on the phone. It's weird.
I know. I got the same problem with the airport I live next to.
Okay. So Ricky, we recorded all the drums at the Ward with Ricky and Bob, and Ricky did an incredible job of recording all the drums. That was like the most immaculate setup of microphones I've ever seen. And the Ward is like this big third story warehouse with, like, you know, vaulted ceilings and hardwood floors and everything. So like the acoustics in that place is unmatched of any place that you could find to record in Richmond. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy that, Ricky was on board to help out on that. That was, it's a 6 hours just to set the mics up.
Yeesh.
That was a process. Yeah. And the first day we only busted out like two songs. And then the next day, like, we finished the rest of them, but it was just like, this is a slog. This is tough shit.
Well, it seems worth it though.
Oh, in the end, it's worth every second and every penny. Like, I wouldn't trade that shit for the world, you know? It's awe-inspiring in how a band is only worth its salt within, like, the village it surrounds itself in. And it really does take a village to make a band like operate and work. Like it's not just the four or five people in it. It's the whole collective unit of who you surround yourself with and who you work with. So I'm just eternally grateful for everyone that's helped us along the way. It's very fucking cool.
Well, that is, and you're right about a lot of those things, and that's why it's nice to see. Well, it's not a coincidence when a scene like Richmond continues to produce high quality metal and hardcore, whatever, you know, like the certain areas suddenly start popping up and producing a bunch of high quality bands for brief periods of time.
Kind of you can kind of see why,
right? But
the foundation's already there.
Yeah, but with Richmond, it's sustained for much longer than most places are usually able to do, and I think that speaks to the people involved. You're mentioning all these local guys to record with. A lot of places don't have these resources because there's not a lot of loyalty to it too. And it sounds like a lot of people in Richmond are very more than happy to watch this thing grow. You know, a high tide raises all ships kind of idea.
The ethos and support of underground music in Richmond is, in my experience, unmatched. Someone is going to help you, you know, achieve what you want to achieve. And that will probably raise the eyebrows and notice of other local people who will then be like, no, I want to help too. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of this, my dad always says it since he's in the military. It's like, if you get higher up on the ladder than someone else, it's your duty to pull the person underneath you up past you. And it's kind of a similar ethos of just like, well, if I've made it, you need to make it too. You need to go, you need to get bigger, as big as I am or bigger. Like, we all need to help each other up this ladder. So it's like kind of like a no band left behind ethos, which is cool. It's very unique in that, and it's very heartwarming.
It is very cool, and like I said, a lot of cities, snake ends up eating its own tail. You know, nobody wants to be outdone, and you know, because it gets petty.
It seems like it's not competition here. It's just support. Yeah. I mean, that's a completely different mindset to even have. I have a brother in Milwaukee where it's just like vicious, like competition all the time between local bands who don't tour or anything.
I can't think of any bands from Milwaukee, so they better knock that off.
Right?
Yeah, it's not working.
Well, it's just for like regional clout. They don't plan on doing anything, but they just want to be the biggest band in Milwaukee. I'm just like, where's that gonna get you, dude? I have never understood it. It blows my mind.
Well, yeah, it doesn't have to. Well, aside from that, now that we're doing this after the records come out now at this point, so your record just came out on, what was it, the 12th?
Yes.
I know prior to the release, you know, all the reviews were good, but how has it been? What have you heard from people who've heard it for the first time? Your peers, I guess.
Insanity. total insanity. The amount of like positive reviews and stuff like that. Like, I don't think we've gotten anything under like a 7 out of 10 or like a 4 out of 5 or anything like that. Like, it's really something to put something out there, and it's just almost unanimously like agreed upon. It's like, yeah, that's fucking sick,
right?
Throughout the entire world, you're just like, whoa. Like, I didn't, you know, that wasn't my intent, I just wanted to write the record we were going to write, you know, with or without, you know, Century. Like, we were going to do this. But it just captured so many people's ears. And they're just like, the thing I've noticed the most is the, which I'm really appreciative about, is the how hard we worked on the sequencing. Mm-hmm. And that, like, the minute that it's over, how many people are just like, I have to start it over again and just listen to it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just, for something that's like 41 minutes long, it goes by and what your head perceives is like 15 minutes. But, like, because it's such a ripper. And then when it's over, you're just like, what do you mean it's over? No, it's not over. Play it again. And so it's like hitting the feeder pellet of force again, the gerbil cage.
Yeah, I was going to mention something about it. You did a great job.
Wild.
You guys did a great job of sequencing, like you said, and I noticed it when listening, because I was on the back half of the record. You know how when you get to like the back half of a record and you kind of start to, usually you start to zone out a little bit.
Get tuckered out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it doesn't happen here.
I'm totally aware of it. We did everything that we could to not do that. But it also has a completely different vibe. Our friend David Jacotz, he texted me. He's like, the first half is for headbanging, the second half is for killing motherfuckers. And I was like, I never thought of it like that. Like, and then I listened to it, I was like, damn, he's kind of right. Like, the first half, side A is really fast. It's really fast. And the second half is just ass-beating riffs.
Yeah, so, and that's where I heard. I wrote it down here. I wrote specifically down Blood Ribbon because that song is one of my favorites.
I love how many people love Blood Ribbon. That's such a weird, it's not weird, but like it's not something I ever would have expected at all because it's so late in the album.
Yeah,
and I like you said, like I thought everyone would be tuckered out by. By the time Hemorrhage starts, I think they would just be like, okay, I know this song because it's been out for a minute, so, like, I'm good. No, people ride for Blood Ribbon, and that's just like, wow, that's so cool because it just tells me that you're listening to the entire album.
Right, that one didn't have a single.
Yeah, maybe it should have. Holy shit, I never would have considered it as being a single song. Like, what?
That is the one song that I wrote down. I didn't write down any other songs. I just specifically wrote down that I wanted to mention Blood Ribbon. Because
now, why is that?
I don't know. It's just what? Like I heard it, and it made me pick up the phone to check the track name. You know, like it just like I know Curtain, like, Fire.
Do you know like what specifically within the song? Like
I don't know.
Really?
No. I think it might have just been. It might have just been the riff. It might have just been the tempo. I don't know, but it was. It was just like, wow, like, I don't know. I can't explain it. It was just like, what song is this? You know, I got
to
check.
I think that's everyone's general vibe, to be honest. There's like, I don't know what it is, but I just fucking would die for this song. I'm just like, that's so strange.
It's never the one you expect.
Of course. So it's just like, wow, Adam, it just kind of, you have to go through the now I feel bad because it feels like you have to go through the slog of side A and half of side B to fully appreciate Blood Ribbon. And it's just like, wow, that's just really cool. I don't know. I'm ultimately always surprised every interview and every like question that I've gotten. It's just like, Blood Ribbon is incredible. Of all the songs, and I'm not saying it's bad by any, like, you know, stretch of the meaning. Like, it's not bad. I fucking love that song too. But just like, wow, that's your favorite one. Strange. Like, I thought it would have been like, you know, UXO or Curtain Fire or Kill Grid or, you know, ones that are far more, I guess, accessible.
Curtain Fire is pretty damn cool, too.
I think it's catchy. You can do the Carlton to it.
Yeah. And that's the ultimate test, right?
That's what I appreciated about it. And to be totally honest, that's how I like structured the lyrics, because I was like, well, you can do the Carlton of the song, so it has to be like really swingy and like catchy. So I listened to a lot of like Blondie and stuff to like kind of get that vocal cadence or like rhythm down to like meet with the rhythm. So
very nice.
I thought that was cool. That, I mean, yeah. So it took some research to like get that right.
Well, dude, it's obviously all paid off here, at least so far, and I'm excited for you guys that hopefully we are light at the end of the tunnel, and you can eventually get out here and see, you know, the actual response, the physical response to what you got on Killgrid, because I think you, like you said, unanimously, people who love heavy music love this record, and I agree with them. I'm sure you agree with
that. If you just like aggressive music, then I don't see why you wouldn't like it. Like, what's there not to be liked about? There's a lot of aggression in it.
Plenty of hardcore, plenty of heavy metal, plenty of whatever genre you want to put it in.
Honestly, yeah. So it's just kind of like, it's just kind of the everyman's aggressive album.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, hey, I think that's the way we should leave it. I think that's how we should wrap it up.
Okay. Sounds cool.
Thank you for taking the time to have this conversation. I'm glad we were finally able to work it out.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Happy to do it. All right, cool.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Knox, and that awesome song you just heard is Curtain Fire. I should have played that Blood Ribbon song that we talked about at length, but you know, I think you got to find it the same way that the rest of us have. You got to hear it in the context of the record and find out what makes it so cool. I don't know. It's why it sticks out. I can't explain it, as you heard, but you check it out. You find out. Okay. So obviously that's about it for this one. If you want to get in line, if you're hearing this on Monday, there is currently a Getting It Out giveaway happening. If you get there in time and you repost the post on Instagram and tag two friends, whatever the rules are, you have to go there and check it out. You can win one LP, at least one LP, two 7-inches, two CDs, maybe some merch if you wear the right size, and some random stickers, buttons, all that sort of stuff. So check that out if you heard this by Monday, let's say. If you hear it Monday, March 22nd, the 22st, you might have a chance. Anyway, otherwise you can go to the Patreon page if you want, patreon.com/gettingitoutpodcast, and be a subscriber and get some cool stuff there. If you are a Patreon subscriber, the $3 tier, that automatically enters you into the contest, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to know about them. You could already be winning and not even know. But yeah, that's it. The Instagram page at @getting_it_out_podcast. That's where you're going to find out about these contests, where you can win free things. I don't know why I keep going back to the contest. It's just my easy frame of reference right now. And yeah, there's the Facebook page, facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast. And gettingitout.net is eventually going to be a thing. Who knows when? It's been over a year. I've been saying that. But yeah, that's coming. That's going to be it for this one. Let's do a song from Silvertomb. I don't know if you're familiar with Silvertomb, but I am. Silvertomb is a band from Brooklyn, New York. They got a pretty impressive list of past, how would you say this? A pretty impressive ex-members lineup, I guess you could say. why do I keep stumbling over this? These guys were in a lot of cool bands. But I want to let the music speak for itself. This is off of their Edge of Existence record, which has been out for a little while. It's not a new song, but I wanted to put it out there for you anyway. It's called So True. Again, the band's called Silvertomb. Check it out. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.